Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And with a quick turn, skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
There's Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Maddon, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Glovers Cast. We've all dried out after a wet night at Weymouth, mostly because none of us were there. So I am joined this evening by Mr. Ian Perkins, Mr. Ben Barrett, and a man who was there, but we're not sure how wet he got, Mr. James Healy. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hiya. Hello, David. Hello, chaps. Hope you're doing well.
Jimmer, have you dried out, Jimmer?
Just about. It wasn't too bad because we were stood at the back behind the goal and the wind and the rain was driving towards all the home fans, so it gave them their weekly wash, stood down the side of the pitch.
Weekly wash. Oh, dear.
So you weren't down at the front at the end of it then, giving it the big one with Skivo and co?
No, we stayed near the back. I did think about going down there and taking my top off like some of the youth were, but that would have frightened the locals, that's for sure.
Oh, blimey. Yeah, he was having fun, was Terry, but almost as much fun as Grant Smith.
Oh, that end, that was brilliant. We saw it. And no one really saw it on the day, I don't think. And me and my brother saw it, and we were in fits. Like, and the ref booked him, and he just carried on anyway. It was brilliant.
What had Brandon Goodchip done to him to deserve that?
I don't know. Brandon's actually a nice lad because we had him at Yeovil. So yeah. He's a really, really nice fella. So I don't know what he's done to upset him, but he obviously done something.
Yeah. He should have scored late on, shouldn't he?
Oh, yeah. Good save, that.
Yeah. Yeah, great
really
save.
Good save. Yeah. Didn't, because we were obviously at the other end. So when he got put through, everyone was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah. And then it went wide. We thought he shot wide, but then obviously the ref give a corner, so then on the highlights last night you could actually see how much of a decent save that was, and obviously kept us in it.
Just to give you a bit of a peek behind the curtain, just before we pressed record on this, Jim has said to us, what are we talking about? So and we've already started, so that's why we're getting into this one so early. But yeah, how's everyone? We all listened to it on the radio, didn't we, Ian and Ben?
Yes.
How did we find that experience?
My heart rate's just about come down.
Yeah.
I mean, it was comedy gold with Lawson. on the radio.
Yeah,
the BBC will start putting a 5 second delay on the commentary at Yeovil games when he's on, I think.
They need to borrow your whistle.
Yeah, I was going to say, I need your bleep machine.
I'll keep looking out my window. Because when I used to do the co-coms with Chris Spittles, when I first started doing it with the lip mic, because obviously they're really sensitive when they're close, so I would do the same and go, go on, go on, go on, and cheer. I never swore. But then Spitz had to say to me, if you're going to do that, just like hold the microphone away. So I was forever just going, go on, and then it was overriding what he was saying and no one could hear.
I don't know if it was the same with yours, but when we scored, that when Worthington scored, my radio just went exploded. It just went like that for like about three. Because Lawson Diaz screamed down the microphone at you.
Yeah, my computer went a bit crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an entertaining listen for sure.
Nerve wracking.
Yeah. Yeah. I think as it got closer to the 90th minute as well. It's like a theme for us a little bit.
an inevitability that we all knew where this was coming. We all had that moment of, we've seen this script 1,000 times, at 1-0, at 2-0, heck, at 3-0 once. We've seen this script. We all know what happens. And it was just a case of waiting and waiting and waiting. And then it happens. It's so, such a Yeovil thing to do, isn't it? It was such a Yeovil evening. Only that evening could happen to Yeovil and all the twists and turns. And it's still carrying on now because we're the only team left in the FA Cup that still hasn't got a bloody clue who we're playing in the next round because Yate and Dover couldn't bother to put 50p in the meter of the floodlight. So everyone else is ready for their FA Cup game and we're going to have to sit and wait till next Tuesday. It's such a Yeovil thing to do to have that kind of an evening.
We're going to send Jim at Yate to scout for us, are we, on Tuesday night?
It's not far from you, is it? Yeah, it's only up the road. I'll go and do some scouting.
Take your 50p's.
Yeah. Well, one of the floodlights went off at Weymouth, down by us.
Yeah.
It was really dark in one corner. And my brother's an electrician, so they may have put our thing for a sparky, but they said someone said, does anyone know a decent sparky? Don't ask him.
All the lights will go off.
Yeah, all the lights will go off. Or Jim Scarpa, him and his apprentice, like... But they would have had to climb up because they're proper. Their floodlight. I love floodlights, but their floodlights are brilliant down there. They're proper old school, like Sputio floodlights. And they would
love floodlights.
Rookie ladder. I was gonna say,
Ben's the only one that can't criticise that because he loves shin pads, but loving floodlights is pretty close. Oh,
floodlights! Barnsley have got the best floodlights,
right?
Isn't it? I think I follow a Boston fanzine on Twitter, and they often talk about their old floodlights that they used to have that were, they all loved their floodlights.
I do like an old-fashioned floodlight. The ones now are boring, all on top of the stands. You don't want any of that crap. You want the old-fashioned ones.
ones that burst into flames. Yeah. Jimmer, can you rate the Yeovil floodlights out of 7, please?
I'd say a solid... Three and a half.
Okay. There's no decimal points in the same range.
We'll go three then, because it's quite interesting how they change the bulbs, because they're like on a mechanism that come down like that. So they come down really slowly on hydraulic. You change the bulb, put in a 60 watt or whatever, screw it in, and then put it back up.
LED.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Did the mark get pulled down because they are spontaneously combusting and burst into flames every now and again?
Yeah, maybe a 2 then.
Okay, I didn't know whether you jumped from a 4 to a 3 because of the combustion, but actually if you're going to drop to a 2, that's
they're quite bland really, aren't they? They're not the greatest. They're no Weymouth floodlights, but that's the only decent thing about down there, to be honest.
Welcome to the floodlight podcast for tonight. So what did you make of it then, Jimmy, the actual game? Because you were saying you'd seen this one and Altrincham at home. So
yeah, so not really. It was a lot better than Altrincham at home, that's for sure. But as Ben said there, you knew what was coming. That last 10 minutes or so, every time they went forward, Smith didn't have a lot to do in goal, but you knew they had that one chance. And when they had that one chance, they were going to score it. You just knew it was coming all along. But first half, we battered them, I thought, because in the weather and everything, we passed it around nicely. Everyone's going, oh, we're going to lump it forward in this weather, but we didn't. We adapted quite nicely to the weather, I thought. Pass it around. Weymouth got a bit back into it just before half time, but then second half was, it just dragged, to be honest.
And what did we change? What did we change? Did we start trying to lump it, or
what, no, what not really. No, yeah. It's, Weymouth just took up a hand, I thought. We started to lump it a little bit, but I thought we looked solid, though. Staunton at the back was great. I just think he's brilliant. He was a proper leader on. There was a couple of tackles went flying in when Lawson swore on the radio when really Smithy guy. I think he was going to get straight back up, but then he realised it was kicking off a little bit, went down, and I think that's why the ref booked the lad, because he stayed down. But yeah, Staunton was leading like all of the fisticuffs and putting his head in where it hurt, vital tackles and that. I just thought he was brilliant on the night. But yeah, I just thought we were decent first half, second half not so great, and then extra time just that dragged as well until that, the last minute penalty, thinking yes, which I thought was harsh, to be fair. A few people were saying it would, I mean, it hit his hand, but he couldn't go anywhere because he was like sliding in to block it, and his hands were across his chest really, and his elbow stuck out a little bit, and that's where it seemed to hit. And obviously we all shouted, you're going to, but and when the ref give it, bloody hell, lucky with that. If it was at the other end, I think we would have gone apeshit at him. Yeah, I thought it was a bit harsh on Weymouth, but obviously it didn't really matter because he missed it anyway. But
I guess the big question is, should Tom Knowles have taken that penalty?
He might have hit the steward on the other side.
Leveled it out. Did anyone else have a feeling of dread when you heard that Joe Quigley was stepping up to take that?
No, I didn't.
I thought we were all saying drill it down the middle, just whack it as hard as you can.
That's what Lawson said. Yeah. Straight down the middle.
Yeah. Just hit it as hard as you can. But the keeper, I don't know if you've seen any of the clips of people filming, even for the penalty shootout as well, he wasn't standing in the middle of the goal.
Yeah, he moved, didn't he?
So he moved real about a metre away from the left-hand post. So whether he got in Quigley's head to think, right, he's there, he's left me loads of room, I'll go that side, he's going to go there, but he went the right way. It was quite fair. From where we were stood, it looked like it was nestled in the bottom corner, so I don't know, I haven't really seen that bit back, but I don't know if it was a good save or it was at the right height for him or what.
From what I could see on the replay, it felt like Quigley hasn't done a lot wrong. He's hit the target, he's put it into the corner.
More than what opted in the penalty shootout.
Yeah, exactly. If if the keeper guesses the other way, that's one of those really nice looking penalties that just nestles in. I'm not going to. Anyone who's got the bollocks to stand up and take a 121st minute penalty against Weymouth with the FA Cup fourth round at stake, with all that's gone before us in this last 4 weeks, that takes cojones. And I'm, you know, if he's going to hit the target, minimum requirement for me, one of them things, just give the keeper a bit of credit, I think, and say, fair play. What came after? Not so much.
It's made Jimmer a viral hero, isn't it? Are you getting stopped in the street now?
It's not the first time, is it?
No, I've been asked for autographs and all sorts down the street up here. I mean, there's people looking out the curtain now. There's people out there now trying to get me autographs. The funny thing with that is, it's not actually my video either.
I was going to say it's not your video.
No, so I was... got back to mum and dad's in Barrack, was laying there and couldn't sleep. So it's like 20 past one. And one of my mates WhatsApped it to me, said, have you seen this? This is brilliant. So I just saved it and put it up. It just thought like a few people see it and have a giggle. And I woke up in the morning, Jesus. I had so many notifications and inbox messages from media companies saying, can we use it? Can I have permission to use it? And I was like, it's actually not my video, so I can't say yes. So I went to the had a meeting down that way. So I went to that and they trawled through the internet, found out whose it actually was. And it's Jordan Mullis who does maintenance stuff at the ground. So I know him quite well anyway. So I phoned him and it's his dad's. So I said, can I just pass your details on to all of these media companies? You can deal with them all. So he's like, yeah, no worries. So I give him a mobile number and it's now been licensed by a company and they're distributing it for him and he'll get some money for it. So
oh, nice.
Yeah, he's making a bit out of it. I'm not sure what, but last time I looked, it was at nearly 3 million views, I think, and interactions is at 4 million, something like that. So I wish I put it on my business page now rather than my personal one. Might got some work from it.
Have you done that thing where people reply to a tweet after it's gone viral with like, oh, look at
I put up my video in the hope that like some media companies might see it and I might make some money, but no bugger has. You just hear me giggling like a little girl at the end. Because
I did see someone say it's the laugh afterwards that makes it. Somebody, was it Away Grounds or something like that?
Oh, did they?
Yeah, said it's the laugh at the end of it that makes it.
It was so funny. Because the Yeovil fans were giving that head steward a lot of stick during the game as well about his headphones. He looked like a pilot. He had these massive headphones on like that with the bit coming down. And they were singing to him, "Are you a pilot?" And all sorts. And giving this other steward stood behind the goal loads of grief as well. And he just stood there straight faced. But this bloke was, he was like waving at him and then it tonked him on the head. And it's bloody funny. So funny.
There are a few things funnier than someone getting smacked in the head with a football. Who's not expecting it?
It must have hurt because, I mean, he had his hat on with those headphones. Those headphones, like I said, were big and bulky. Oh. And it knocked it off and it kind of hit him on the head. So it must have hurt him.
You could hear it, couldn't
funny.
You?
Yeah, but it was still bloody funny. No one was really fussed about missing the penalty. Everyone was cheering him.
And what happened?
That was to win it.
What happened with the bottle? Because it felt like the penalty shootout was going quite smoothly. Then all of a sudden, there's a retake. And
it was a Fanta bottle, I can tell you that. But it was just as he was, it definitely put him off. Because as he was running up to the ball, the bottle went over the crossbar just as he was about to strike the ball. And we were looking at him, and you could see him look at the bottle just as he was about to strike it. So 100% it put him off.
Yeah.
So I think the ref was right to say he spoke to his lino on the side and made him take it again. But going back to the ref, I thought he was decent. I've read online that some people were saying that he was rubbish.
Lawson Diaf didn't like him, but I don't think he likes any referees.
No, I honestly thought he was decent because with like fouls in that, he would let it go a little bit. And he would think about his decision. He wasn't really rash with blowing his whistle. He would let things go, see if he could play an advantage. And 9 times out of 10, he brought it back. But I generally thought he was decent.
Was he a higher up ref?
I'm not sure. Wasn't he the son of...
John Elsing.
Yeah.
Because I noticed in the first game, the referee was that ref who'd squared up to an Ipswich player.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And he was noticeably better than the usual dross. Like, you could tell that he was like an EFL ref because the game did just flow and there wasn't stupid stoppages. And
yeah, that's what I thought he was like, to be fair to him. And he gave us a penalty in the last minute, so he went up in the escalations then as well.
He was the same ref when we played Weymouth down there last season, the one who disallowed Reed's goal. Do you remember
Reed's,
that goal?
Maybe he's not so great then, because that wasn't a foul, was it?
No, but he was the same ref.
Maybe he's not that great then. But in general,
maybe he's got better.
Well.
Yeah,
that's
maybe he's got better.
Maybe he's improved. Yeah, we'll give him that.
Didn't we like John Elsing when he was at Yeovil? Didn't we run a feature on him in a programme at one point as well? And it was like his last game.
He requested his last game to be at Hewish Park, didn't he?
Did he?
He got a standing ovation, didn't he, when he came off as well? For a referee.
Yeah, for a ref. Yeah.
Don't get that very often, do you?
No.
Trevor Kettle won't want to come to Yeovil for his last game.
Oh. Oh, no, please no. Is he still going?
Yeah.
I remember when he cropped up on Match of the Day one night and it was like...
Yeah, he was fourth official.
He's in the Premier League.
Yeah.
They're scraping the barrel there, aren't they?
Yeah. Is there that few referees?
No one else available. You'll do, Trev. Oh, no. But in general, I thought we were well worth our lead. But you just knew that they were going to get back into it and score at some point, unfortunately. And sure enough, they did.
Did we create much sort of clear-cut chances? Because I've sort of, the games that I've put myself through the last few weeks, we've had moments where we've had the ball, but we've never really created anything, you know, obvious. We've not put anyone through on goal and saying, here you are, put it away, son.
There's a couple of chances, but no real clear-cut ones. And neither keeper, our end, had a save to make. So when they were defending our end, no one really had a save to make. It was all at the other end. Both of the goals were at that end as well. And my eyesight was naff. And with the weather, you couldn't really see that end that well. But no, we hit the bar just before we scored as well. And then the one cleared off the line, looking at the highlights. I mean, that looked close.
That's one in both now, isn't it? That's one in both legs. Both versions of that tie, we've had one that has been claimed as being over the line and not given.
Yeah, it did look close, because if you look at the keeper's position as well, and where the lad is on the line clearing it away, but I mean, the liner was over the far side, so you can't really, unless it's 2 foot over, it must be difficult for him to see through all the players, the post and everything. But on the height, obviously, at our end, we couldn't see if it went in, but we were all claiming it, that's for sure. It looked in from our end, 3 foot over, touched the back of the net.
It looked in from here in Leeds, and I was only listening, so yeah, it must have been close.
Yeah, it was close, I think, but
completely unbiased, Lawson Diaz thought it was in as well. That's gotta be in, he was saying. And Sheridan goes, don't know, we couldn't really see, could we, Lawson? Yeah.
I thought it was a nice header from Matty Worthington. And from the sound of commentary, he was getting further up the pitch, which is what we've been crying out for, a midfielder to do that. So nice that happened. And I think Sheridan asked Lawson about that on commentary, and I think it was one of the points he made was that he's just not been on the pitch very much to do it. So maybe as we adjust to the absence of Wilco, Matt Worthington getting a little bit further forwards now is going to be something that we do see.
He seemed to go in slow motion, his header as well. The cross come in and we all stood there like that.
Yeah,
as it jumped, it seemed to just loop really slowly.
It looked like a proper headed goal.
Yeah, it might be like the way he headed it and it went in slow motion. It might be a bit of Ed's in the Sheffield United as it like headed it back across a little bit. It kind of looped, and he just said, "That's going in. It's going in." And then I got a bit of stick from Sweeter for saying scenes, and I'm like a nearly 40-year-old and using terms like scenes and limbs everywhere and that, but it was nice seeing everyone celebrating in a packed away end.
Yeah. Well, Ian's been calling for an Ed Upson-style midfielder all season. Maybe we've got one. Lawson called him like a young Paul Scholes, didn't he? But it might have just been the hair colour, I think.
Yeah, just the hair colour.
Yeah, Dale Gorman's a young Paul Scholes as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I did like what he did with the scarves at the end as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just waiting for someone to get a flag and do a Graeme Souness in the centre circle. It really wound them up. By that time, they had all sloped off anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a hell of a scene at the end of that game when you look back at the footage Sam put out after and just the players going for it. It felt like, I don't know, you know those moments in a season where maybe things are going to turn and
yeah,
Dave's praying.
It's definitely given me the bug again of going to games like that, especially those scenes at the end of just seeing everyone all singing together, even the players singing, like, and then Skivo starting the chant of saying that he hates Weymouth and everyone joining in and the players just singing like the Weymouth get battered everywhere they go, and they were all joining in with that. It was brilliant. It's ace.
Yeah,
it was just like being when I was younger, when we used to go to all the games and that, singing like that, and the unity and that. You just, yeah, like Ian said there, I think hopefully it might be a little bit of a turning point. Fingers crossed.
I think there's always that element at away games, though. Do you think,
especially down there? We said if that was a replay away at Grimsby or somewhere else, I don't think it would have been that much of an atmosphere, but because of who it was against and where it was,
yeah,
and the circumstances of the penalties and dragging out a little bit, I think that added to it as well. It was it was good fun at the end.
I haven't I'm said much on... out. Sorry, go on, Jim.
I'm walking out after as well, because you have to walk through the main car park, you've got all these Weymouth fans in their car. Like, I think if it wasn't raining, there could have been a little bit of an issue, I think, because there was only one exit for Yeovil fans to go. You go down the little hill into the car park. It's where all the home fans are parked in that. And we're all walking out there seeing the 8 Weymouth and all of that, and they're all in their cars. But I think if it was dry, it could have the police could have had their hands, I think.
Not like Millwall, where they shuffle you out in a cage and get you on the closest train.
There was a lot of police there, to be fair, like in the car park, but they're all separated out. But I think if it wasn't raining, I think they would have probably made a bit of a tunnel for us to walk through. But we were all parked all over the place anyway. So,
well, there's always, is it Good Friday when we play away again?
Easter Monday, I think.
Easter Monday, yeah.
Get down there for that then.
I like
hopefully it won't be raining.
I like how that's it's quite posh. We would have a scuffle, but unfortunately there's some precipitation in the air. I couldn't dare get my coat wet. So maybe another time, chap.
Yeah. I think everyone was knackered as well, because it just went on and on. The game went on and on, and the extra times, let's just take it to penalties now. Let's just shake hands and do penalties. Get over and done with.
Yeah. Should have a third replay.
Oh, God. Imagine that. Two is enough.
Yeah. I think so. Have to do it on neutral ground. Have to do it, I don't know.
Dorchester.
Yeah. That's Dorset still.
I was going to say, I haven't said much on this podcast, but I'm quite enjoying the positivity from the room. Normally me having to crowbar it in, but you're all quite jolly. I quite like it.
Oh, Coates was quick to chime in after the final whistle, wasn't he? He didn't give Ben 10 minutes to be happy about the win.
No, I just made the point that listening to that and some of the things I've seen afterwards, first half we were good, second half against a pretty poor team, we weren't. But Ben, don't roll your eyes at me. What I would say is exactly what you guys just said there. Maybe this is the thing that can spark us. And Sonny said it after the game. He said, maybe this can spark our season back in, because we all know we've been crap for the past. I know the manager was talking about there's too much expectation on these lads. I don't think expecting better performance than we've had against three part-time teams is too much expectation. This team's good enough to do better than that against Maidenhead, better than that against Oldham, better than that against Weymouth. So hopefully this is the thing, those scenes at the end of that game, hopefully they do spark us. And I said, I've got a hat set up on the shelf there. I'm more than happy to eat it. I'm more than happy. Bit of salt and pepper.
What you say there about part-time teams, you wouldn't have known that Weymouth were part-time?
No.
On Tuesday?
And the same when we played Altrincham as well.
Yeah. You wouldn't. I mean, they travelled down on the day, didn't they, Altrincham?
Yeah.
Travelled down on the day. 220 miles. Yeah, I mean, and then everyone knows they had the left-back going goal, and you wouldn't have known who was part-time and who was full-time. And again, on Tuesday, you wouldn't have known that either.
We said the other day, didn't we, part-time teams aren't what they were when, you know, we were in the conference back in the early 2000s, were we? It's not like, you know, someone comes off a building site and walks into the dressing room, do they? Right. It's, you got a bit more fitness about you. But yeah, I mean, I do hope that that this does spark us. And it was good to hear Sonny had a good game as well, because before the game, and again, I'm quite happy to be wrong, I thought, bloody hell, is this one for Sonny Blue? Is a pissing wet night in Weymouth going to be good for him?
I suppose he'd take off like with the wind, because there's not a lot on him, is there? No. And with the wind, you expect him to take off, but to be fair to him, he did play well.
Yeah, especially if he's got a baggy shirt on.
Yeah. Take off.
So, yeah, I'm happy to be positive. Only Grimsby away on Saturday, so that's all right.
That's just a joke.
Sorry, you've had 2 days. Come on.
It is nice fish and chips at Grimsby.
Nice fish and chips. Nice pint as well. Dave, you were talking to a Grimsby podcast yesterday, day before, live. You said very nice things about me for a change, which was delightful.
So, you're trying to build these bridges ever since that Stockport.
I'm just saying, I was grateful for the shout out.
Everyone needs a Ben Barrett in their life. That's what I said. Everyone.
That is just one compliment.
Yeah. Just one. Can't have more than one. Yeah.
Or Ben.
But yes, you're right.
I try around here.
You're right. We did. I did have a chat with some Grimsby Town fans, and they were very complimentary about the food that there was at Grimsby, and they were also very complimentary about their owners as well. But we'll leave that there. Is that a good opportunity to go into the recording now?
That's a great segue.
Look at that, smooth.
Right, let's have it. This is Dave, and I am joined by Alex and Bruce from Grimsby Town supporters, who are going to talk to me. I've been talking to them for the past 20 minutes about what it's like being a Yeovil Town this season. Don't listen back to that. It is depressing. But they're going to tell me all about how Grimsby Town are flying their way through National League on their way to promotion. So, Alex, Bruce, I don't know who wants to go first. What can Yeovil Town fans expect at the end of a long trip from Somerset to Grimsby?
I mean, Bruce will be able to tell you far more, but the only things I can tell you is cracking food, a half-decent pint, and some of the best fish and chips on the planet. But on the pitch...
I like the sound of this already.
Yeah, I mean... We've had a little bit of a revolution at our place. We're under new ownership and the food is now, it's probably the best restaurant in town. It's full of local street fairs. And I don't know what you are privy to in the away end, but I'm sure if you bunged a town fan a tenner, they will be able to slide over a scotched egg or something like that. That's all the rage. Bruce, what about you? Because I mean, the only game I've experienced this season was from the comms box doing the shouting. So what's it like for the away fans that do come? What can Dave and the rest of the Yeovil fans expect?
I don't think they get access to the same food as we do, do they?
So have they still got the old Chizzy burgers?
You got to bring your own microwave.
Eyelids and testicles.
No, I would, if I was coming up, which if I was doing Yeovil, I would be there. I would be up nice and early. We'd be on the road at 5, 6 o'clock to get up for opening, not just after. And I would make sure you were in the fan zone before the game, because they do some of the very nice food in there. So, I would check out the fan zone.
Is that the little bit behind in the away terrace? That when I've been there before, there's like a little bar that you had in there. Is that the same place?
It's new this season. Okay. So it's between, if you're in the away end, it's between your stand and the big tall Finder stand on the left. It's in the corner there, but you have to access it from Grimsby Road, from the main road. So you would go there before and then walk round to the away turnstiles. But yeah, it's got good beer, it's got good food, and it's got reasonably civilized fans in it. So yeah, it's
you don't go in anymore, do you, Bruce?
I can't afford it, mate. It's every home game. The food and drink is that good now that every home game costs about the same as an away one.
You've just got a lot of overweight town fans now wondering why they've put on 3 stone since August.
You can't just turn up and just sort of go and watch the game because the smells and the smell of the food just sort of wafts back you.
What about on the pitch? What can we expect?
You're not allowed to eat on the pitch, Dave.
On the pitch, we look like a well-oiled machine, which we've all been very pleasantly surprised how quickly the squad that Paul Hurst has assembled over the summer has done. And somebody said to me today, they think that one of the big things was that he had his budget early. He spent most of it early. And we had pretty much our full squad, give or take 2 or 3 players, before we started pre-season training, which was...
And before, probably, you even finished. Like he'd signed players before the National League had really even finished, hadn't he? We had a long pre-season.
It was about 10 weeks or something, wasn't it? It was crazily long. And the season started late anyway because you'd all been playing late. But, we just thought... I'm not saying what the result's going to be at the weekend, but we just look like there's so much confidence and togetherness in the squad. They're well organised. The team that beat, I know Bromsgrove are a couple of tiers below, but the team that won 5-0 at a canter last week that could have won 10-0 easily was three quarters of our reserves.
Yeah, he made seven changes.
He made seven changes last week. So we just look, we're an injury up front away from a little bit of
a problem.
A little bit of having to have a think about which way we go. But the rest of the team's pretty much got two players that wouldn't let themselves down, you know, in their position.
You've got lots of options then.
Yeah, it looks that way. But, I mean, it probably always does when you're flying, and it's a long time since we've been flying, so we're having to learn and adapt to following that team that's
And it's just, yeah, it's really lots well. Of problems, isn't it? Lots of problems for Hurst to work out. And we've got players coming back from injury. Max Wright, who is a sort of a young seminal talent locally, has always promised a lot and has just been really unlucky with injuries. And he's coming back again. I mean, he injured himself celebrating his goal against Wrexham, didn't he?
Really?
He pulled a hamstring. He's now coming back. He played a couple of minutes yesterday and he's sort of, you got him, Bapaga and Errico Sousa, who have been phenomenal on the wings, and they can just sort of change as much as they want. And the main conversations we've been having, if we try and find a criticism, which is hard to do, is we worry about being up front. We've got two very good strikers in Grant Taylor and John McAtee. McAtee came from Scunthorpe, our local rivals, who were told he was lazy. Yet Paul Hurst was absolutely, you could tell when he signed it, one of the first players he signed, he was so excited that we'd got him. And you can kind of see why. Grant Taylor, the only worry you have is a bit injury prone and you worry about that, but he's been so good, so strong up front. He might be a bit knackered because he's had a kid. So, I mean, that might be an opportunity. But they both didn't play on the week at the weekend, did they, Bruce? So they've had almost 2 weeks off.
Nicely relaxed, and we've played 120 minutes in the pouring rain on Tuesday night. So you can see where this is going, isn't it?
No, well, we can't. No, it's a 1-0 away win. That's what it is.
I'm taking it. It's sold. Sold. I love it.
It's one of these things because I think one of the few advantages of being down here before, which we'd never been before we got relegated last time, is that we know what to expect. We're waiting for I went to Bromley. We got tanked. It was absolutely siloing it down the whole game. Their manager and their team absolutely loved winding us up. They ran over to us for each of their three goals. They clearly don't have anything better to do. We know that that's coming. We've been spanked 5-0 by Braintree. And we understand that this league is a pain in the ass to get out of.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting us to be anywhere near this at the moment. I mean, I was with Wrexham and Stockport splashing the cash around like there's the end of the world. We just expected to sort of be, we would like the playoffs. That's where we were aiming for. But this league is madness.
I have to say that when, you know, when you two teams came down and looking at who Southend had brought in as well, my prediction was worth absolutely nothing, obviously, was that Southend would finish quite comfortably in the playoffs and you guys would be in mid-table somewhere. But how wrong am I?
It's all about the manager and yeah. The new owners. We've been needing new owners for 16 years. We finally got them. And they are absolutely everything you would hope for. If they didn't have a penny to rub together, I would still have them in a heartbeat. They are so good. They're so open. They try new things. The whole place is buzzing. We've sold out. We've got, 6,300 tickets sold for tomorrow. Oh, sorry, for Saturday. And that's not something we expect. Like, it's now continually growing and people are excited about going again. Mm-hmm. And it's just dream world at the moment. I'm waiting for someone to wake us up. I don't know how you feel, Bruce.
And they promised nothing.
Yeah.
They said they're not going to come in and make wild promises. They promised nothing. And it's basically the boardroom equivalent of the manager saying, we'll do our talking on the pitch.
Yeah.
They'll do their talking on the pitch and off the pitch. And that's what they'll, you know, what will be after that. They've not come in like your guys by the sound of it and, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, because you know, anybody in the right mind in this division knows what it's like, how hard it is to get out of, and you've basically got to be relentless. And I saw a statistic, I don't know where it came from, I don't know who pulled it up, but somebody had fed everything into some system the other day and come up with a end of season.
Oh table. God, that was a ridiculous league table.
And it had Chesterfield finishing 1 point above us on 101 points or something.
Really?
And we just. I mean, I don't know. Like I say, there may have been no theory behind it, but somebody had somehow come up with this table. And like I say, you amassed a lot of points. But I think to win this league, you've just got to be relentless, haven't you? And keep winning and winning and winning.
Doing all right so far. You're doing all right so far. Well, for this segment where we're going to use this on the Glovers Cast, I'm gonna stop it there because I love that positivity with regards to what owners do and how owners communicate with supporters. Don't make big promises. Like you say, do their talking on the pitch and off the pitch. If we could have that at Yeovil Town, I'd be very happy.
Cheers, Dave. Good chat with the guys up at Grimsby Town. Very nice compliments about me in that little podcast, as well, as you said. When it push comes to shove, though, on the game on Saturday, just how many of them are we going to beat them by?
Grimsby?
Because
4 or 5, I'd have thought, yeah.
Makes
I reckon work. it'll be 4 or 5-0 that game, I reckon.
4 or 5-0 to who, Dave? Dave?
Ian, where's that whistle sound that we had the other night? Yeah, well, like I said before we went to him, I hope that sparks us Tuesday night. I hope Tuesday night sparks us.
So let's add a bit of context into this game of Grimsby. Yeovil currently lie 14th, 9th, 9 games, 3 wins, 2 draws, 4 losses, scored 9, conceded 10, 11 points. Grimsby, just a couple of places above. Top of the table, played 11, won 8, drawn 2, lost 1, scored an eye-watering 25 goals, conceded just 11, 26 points. They are a perfect 5 from 5 at home so far this season, having conceded just 4 goals. They've only failed to score once this entire season, and that was a 0-0 draw. So, good luck to Max Hunt and Josh Staunton.
Yeah. Although I did point out to them that last time I went on a podcast, a rival fans podcast, and talked about how I was worried about it, that was the Stockport podcast, and we all know what happened after that, don't we? So, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, quite. They've been in good nick. I mean, they didn't have to go through 2 games to get through the FA Cup because they had Bromsgrove and they demolished them 5-0. Prior to that, they only snuck past Woking. They won a bit of a barnstormer against Altrincham 3-2 and then beat Dover 6-0. So those goal scoring numbers are a little potentially a bit flattering in terms of recent form. But go back further and they gave Wrexham a bit of a spanking. They gave Torquay a bit of a spanking. So look, there's no question that they're going to be dangerous. They've got a couple of goal scorers. I mean, none in their side have scored quite as many as our boy Joe Quigley this season, but you know, we'll overlook that.
How many of theirs have scored more than any of our?
None.
No, but how many are close? Like, have they got several scorers on like 3?
So, yeah, Quigley 6, and then joint 11th, McAtee and Taylor 5 each for Grimsby.
Oh, okay.
Clifton 3, Waterfall 3, Bapaga 2. I'm still yet to come across another Yeovil player. Efete 2. Giles Coke. It's Giles Coke at Grimsby. He's next. Oh, and then Del Gorman 1.
Okay.
Yeah. I will just say, as before we began recording there, they were talking about strikers and saying how strikers, as their front two, were probably the one position where they didn't have 2 options. And they did say, how's Ali Youssef getting on at Yeovil? You know, because he was a player at the beginning of the season. Every Grimsby fan was saying, we used to get Ali Youssef in because he had a loan spell there. So they were a bit worried about Ali Youssef. They did ask me about Mitch Rhodes as well, who played from 2. But
You are opening cans of worms today, David.
No, I'm sealing that one back up. I'm putting some cling film around that one.
You've gone from being really positive to being a bit, you know, pokey again, and we don't like it.
No, we do a bit. We do a bit.
Don't you start.
Don't encourage him. Sound like me, mother. Don't encourage him.
So, yeah, Grimsby have quite a lot of good goal scorers. I didn't realise that Lionel John Lewis was there. So good they named him after a shop. He scored against Bromsgrove. They have got some good goal scorers. I was wondering, we haven't had a press conference, probably, as you good punters are listening to this. I'll be in conversation with the gaffer on the Friday morning press conference before they drive up to Grimsby. So we haven't had a chance to sort of pose too many questions to him about it, but they've got to change the way they go about it, haven't they? Or are they going to try and do a bit of a Stockport and just rock up and try and shock them into thinking, hang on a minute, this wasn't supposed to go like this? Or do we have to take the 4-3-3 away and play 7 or 8 defenders? I don't know how to do it. How would you do it, Ian? You're Darren Sahl's shoes. You're the manager tomorrow. You're taking the side up. Are you playing every defender we've got? Or are you saying, stuff it, we might as well roll the dice and get spanked? But you have a good
point. Point of order here, Ian, if you're in Darren Sahl's shoes, have you got socks on or not?
I have 2 pairs of socks on.
Right, okay. All right, carry on.
Oh, I might hope for a COVID outbreak within the camp.
Oh, come on.
No.
This is what I'm up against.
No, I think, well, what else can we do? We haven't got a...
Well, those are the two options.
Play the players who didn't play 120 minutes.
Yeah. Shut up shop or have a go. What do you do?
It's away, so shut up shop.
Even though it was Stockport, Dave, you were at Stockport. You saw the positive effect of just getting at a good side.
And out of form Stockport.
What the... Dave, shush. No, not Dave. Ian, shush. Dave, you...
He's used to telling me to shut up, yeah, so yeah. It just comes naturally. Yeah.
Dave, are we rolling the dice or are we shutting up shop?
Well, I'm not going to say what I want to say, but let's go for it. Why not? What have we got to lose? I mean, Jim is still with us, and I'm quickly trying to move this on, but Jim is still with us. I mean, when we attacked in the first half at Weymouth, and I'm not suggesting that Weymouth and Grimsby have got any comparisons to be drawn, but we looked decent, didn't we? What would you do, Jimmer?
Go for it, sod it. I mean, I'm just looking at their squad on here. They've got a decent squad, haven't they, Grimsby? And they're obviously top for a reason. Go for it. We looked all right defensively at times on Tuesday, so. Two centre-back, Staunton. Again, Staunton was decent. So, I mean, they all looked a bit knackered, though. So, that's a little bit of a worry. So, they might be a bit drained, long trip. Nice fish and chips, though. So, get that into them as a pre-match, maybe. But, no, go
2
for
o'clock.
It. I don't think we're good enough, really, to sit back and shut up shop. So, I know we're away from home, but go for it. Sod it.
Jim, this might be a slightly strange question, but you've obviously been on the inside of football clubs and seen managers work and people sort of within. When you have experienced moments of matches, because Tuesday was a moment, it may not have been the most beautiful game of football the world's ever seen, but it was a moment. It was a real high. It was a euphoria. How do you avoid a performance of after the Lord Mayor's show the week after? How do you prevent us going up there and not being able to recreate those highs and thusly having a complete wet, damp, horrible performance? How have you seen managers try and back up big performances?
It's a tough one. I think they try to do it. A lot of them are superstitious. So I think, like, as silly as that may sound, they try and do stuff the same as what they did in the build-up to Weymouth, which they probably do every away game, probably. But maybe they might have done something different. I know they used to play like the DVDs from the games on the bus. Gary was a big one of that, from the hotel to the ground. We used to have to make goal compilations for them. So they would sit and watch themselves scoring. And it was all that Mark Lader getting in your head sort of stuff of all positivity, which you'll love, Ben. Coatsy, not so much.
Can I say we could do a bit of that on here?
Yeah, all the positivity type stuff of seeing themselves scoring the fans celebrating, that sort of stuff, and then getting to the players' heads, look, this is what it meant on Tuesday to the fans. Go out and try and do it again against top of the league. But yeah, looking at their squad, I mean, I'm scrolling through here. I mean, they've got some decent players, haven't they?
A good manager as well. Very good manager.
Yeah, Joel Grant's there. I just see there. Sean Scannell.
Joel Grant, when I was talking to the Grimsby fans, he was saying he hasn't he played 30 minutes in pre-season. They haven't seen him since. So yeah. I don't think we'll see him. They got good owners as well.
Is it going to be, moving on, is it going to be different, of course, with a much, much more sparsely populated away end? I'm not sure how many we're taking, but it won't be many. It may be circa 100, maybe under 100.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing, isn't it? Because on Tuesday, obviously, I don't know how many we had down there, but it was a lot. And I think that did actually carry a lot of the players through, is seeing that away and bouncing and shouting. I mean, we couldn't hear anything from the Weymouth end, but I think that was mainly due to the wind blowing it the other way. But
even Coatesy's loud. Even Coatesy's not going, and he's not been to a football match in about 6 weeks now.
It is to my eternal shame that I won't be there. And my it's my very good, one of my very good friends' 40th birthday. And it's the best present I could give her is to not go to a Yeovil game. So Ben and I are doing Solly. Oh, that's next Saturday afternoon, isn't it, Ben? Solly on.
Yes, I am. Yeah. I'm there with my professional hat on. You are there without
my unprofessional hat on.
Yes, correct.
Your friend's 40. They're a few years younger than you, then, Dave.
Cheeky young whippersnapper,
Dave. You, Dave, you ditched my wedding for a mate's 40th as well, didn't you, or something?
Wow. No, that was my brother-in-law's stag do, I think. They kind of had to go on.
Well,
I was going to say,
I went on your stag do, Ben. That's the feeling.
Yeah, he didn't come to the wedding though, so
yeah.
He went to an away game on Ben's wedding, but not.
That's not true. Ben had the common decency to get married outside the football season, if I remember rightly. Didn't you?
Yeah, just about. Yeah.
Who's born during the football season? It's disgraceful.
Who's born?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
When were you born, Dave?
I was born August the 14th, which is often the first game of the season.
There you go.
Selfish.
I won't say what year.
Black and white.
Yeah. Yeah, I was every born footballs. In black and white.
They had to handwrite his birth certificate.
Chisel that. It's written on a cave somewhere in Ethiopia.
Ethiopia?
That's that. Isn't that where the birthplace of creation, Ethiopia, I think, isn't it? As we all know, I was born in Aldershot, so.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, we've gone off on a tangent.
I thought it was Yeovil District Hospital.
I wasn't born in Yeovil.
Team Musgrove Park for life.
Okay. Do we finished?
More to the point, yes, neither Northern Glover is going to the Northern base game on Saturday, which is a real kick in the teeth. Which
yes, it's a poor effort considering I've done five games in a row and
we live next door.
So I can promise you, Solly Holloway, I can promise you, whoever we end up playing in the FA Cup, and I'll do that even if it's Dover, and I can promise you, Dagenham away. Hopefully the Bromley game in midweek, if I can swing it with work.
Ben's in for Woking this Tuesday as well, aren't you? Are you?
Almost certainly. If you're listening, Sam, and you want some media help, I don't want to pay for a ticket, mate, so...
Even I'm tempted to go on Tuesday as well.
Yes.
I might go up to Yate, but...
Oh.
Might go to travel down and arrange some work meetings to
Dover.
Watch Tavon Campbell score a few goals.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't me, Ben. I didn't say it. It wasn't me. Right. We've got a quiz to fit in here as well, haven't we?
Oh yeah, we have. Yeah, sorry. Who won it, Dave? Do you want to ruin it again or?
No. And can I just say at this point, thank you to all those who checked on my well-being. I had at least one message saying Ben was genuinely angry with you at the end of there, wasn't he? After Ben's outburst. I think he was. He was genuinely angry with me. So
it was almost like he'd lost the quiz.
He wasn't that angry. We haven't heard about it all week. So no.
Jim, do you want to take on the quiz?
I'd love to.
Right, you're up.
Well, yeah. It's you against...
Whistle. No. So tonight we have got the reigning champion, Mr. Andrew Clee, against a good friend of Ian's and work colleague, I think, Rob Manley. So we will close with that and we'll speak to you all again Monday morning after a 4-0 win at Grimsby. Hurrah!
Up the gloves.
Okay, it's quiz time, and he's back now. The talk of Taunton is back for his second defence. Andrew Cleave, reigning champion. Welcome back to the Glovers cast.
Evening, Dave. Nice to be back.
Have you dried out after Tuesday night on the South Coast?
Didn't actually get too wet, to be honest. But
didn't you? You were one of the ones who managed to stay undercover.
Yes, although a bit of a walk after the game, but
can only apologise. Hopefully you were floating on air by the end of it, I imagine. But we're going to cut to the chase because we've got another contender for you, Clevo. Rob Manley, welcome to the Glovers cast. We hear that you are a listener and fancy yourself as a bit of a quiz champion, is that right?
Well, I'm definitely a listener, but whether or not I fancy myself as a quiz champion, I'm not sure. I think Ian might have been telling you porky pies.
Oh, okay. Well, he's built you up a bit, so
we'll give it a go. We're gonna give it a go.
Well, by the request of Mr. Ben Barrett, we've got a bit of a theme. We had one unintentionally last week, but this week we have a theme, and the theme is flying fullbacks. So if you're both ready, I'm not gonna repeat the rules of the game because Ian always tells me off when I do that. But I will get started with the first one. I was born in Neath in September 1995 and joined the academy at Swansea City at the age of 9. In the 2014-15 season, I was part of the club's under-21s title-winning side, and it was this impressive form that won me my first professional contract in the summer of 2015. Having signed it, I was immediately sent out on loan to Yeovil Town.
Connor Roberts.
Connor Roberts is the right answer, Clevo. Straight in there. I thought someone might have gone Liam Shepherd, but yeah.
I was torn between the two. I thought I'd give it a little bit longer
I was wondering if it was going to be Stephen Kingsley.
Oh, Stephen Kingsley would have been a shout, wouldn't it? Yeah,
I was waiting. You got in there quick.
You got to be quick with this man about. I tell you, Rob. Right.
Got to be quick.
So this is the second one. So you need to get this, Rob, otherwise, it's game over. Okay. I was born in Yeovil in September 1980, and my first football
Andy Lindegaard.
Straight in.
Wow.
To be fair, I thought that one would go pretty quickly.
You gave it away with the Yeovil birthplace.
I know. Yeah.
Not many fullbacks born in Yeovil, are there? Let's be honest.
I was going to go... Martin Craney, was he born in Yeovil? I think he was.
Flying fullback.
I never even got to my favourite part about how he had to get permission off of Marks and Spencers to make his debut. That's my favourite part of the Andy Lindegaard story. So, Dave Webb had to ring up Marks and Spencers and get him off his shift on a Saturday so he could play. Anyway,
to be on the fly on the wall of that conversation.
Absolutely, yeah. Dave Webb tells you to do something, you do it, don't you? Okay, right, that's it. 1-0. So there's a little bit of tension going into the third one. I like that. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
I was born in Harrow in northwest London in May 1982, but my football upbringing began in the West Country of Bristol City. Having started in the youth system at Ashton Gate, I made my first appearance in March 2000, coming on as an 86th-minute substitute in a 1-1 draw at Oldham Athletic. I made 6 further appearances for City that season and was rewarded with a professional contract.
Joe Edwards?
It's not Joe Edwards because he's not really a fullback. But we're going to freeze you out for the next paragraph.
Well,
I will bring you back in at the appropriate point, Cleaver. So I was rewarded with a professional contract in the summer of 2000. For the next two campaigns, I was a regular squad member. But in March 2002, I was involved in a car accident, which left me suffering neck injuries. Cleaver, you're back in now. I was awarded a two-year contract by the Robins, and by having returned to fitness, I struggled to regain my place. My only appearances in the 2002-03 season came in a loan spell at Torquay United. The next year, I had a spell at Cheltenham, and despite beginning the 2004-05 season in the City squad, I went on loan to Yeovil in January 2005. My debut came in a 3-1 defeat at Macclesfield Town, and having spent a month on loan with Gary Johnson's League Two title chasers, I made the move permanently in March 2005. I was part of the side which finished champions that season and got my first Yeovil goal early in the following campaign with an equaliser in a 1-1 draw against Blackpool at Hewish Park. Having been a regular for Yeovil in the 2005 season, I departed to Swansea City.
Kevin Amankwa.
Oh,
Kevin Amankwa is the right answer.
There we go.
Gave it away. Well played, Rob.
Thank you, mate.
We have a new champion. That's it. So, Rob, you got to keep your first evenings clear now, because we're going to need you to come back when we can find. And I have a funny feeling that we might be able to persuade Mr. Ben Barrett back into the fray. So that's one to look forward to for next week, folks. So, Clevo,
I get my Thursdays off. I get my Thursdays off at last.
You get your Thursdays off, but you're going to have to keep your Friday mornings open to give it a listen and see who Rob's taking on.
Ah, yes, I certainly will. Well, good luck, Rob.
Cheers, buddy.
See if you can get a hat trick.
That took far too long to get Kevin Amankwa.
Yeah, I could see Ian all the way through that screaming on
the. Oh, and by the way, I'd argue that Joe Edwards is a fullback. He started off as a fullback, I'm sure, converted into a centre midfielder. So
if I was thinking flying fullbacks, I'd pick Kevin Amankwa long before.
Oh,
I
yes, of course.
Just bow out with some grace. Come on, just bow out with some grace. I don't want to argue about this. Let's not finish this podcast on a sour note.
I'm happy with two wins, so two W's. So.
He's happy. Right. Well, Clevo, thank you for taking part, and Rob, we look forward to welcoming you back next week.
And with a quick turn, the skipper Alex Dock slams it in.
Lindegaard making Forrest back pedal. Davis looking to help it into the path of Morris. He's found him via the deflection. It's Aaron Davis. He could win it. He probably has won it for Yeovil.
Oh, and it's an opening goal. What a start. Madden, after just 6 minutes, gives Yeovil the lead.
Stansfield, good turn away from Trott. Goal!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.